Okay, we're to our main message today, so if I can call Brother Jose up here, and if we can all rise, he's going to open up with prayer. Brother Jose.
Thank you, Brother Randy, and shalom to everyone here. Let's all humble our hearts and minds. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you thanks once again for a beautiful Sabbath day where we can come together to worship before you. And we thank you, Father Yahweh, for this technology that we have where the brothers and sisters all around the world can tune in and listen to your word. We pray, Father Yahweh, now for all those that are sick and afflicted, that you be with them and help them to get better. And we just thank you once again for all the blessings throughout the week. And we just pray that you be with us and strengthen us and help us to learn something out of your word today, Father Yahweh, that may be useful where we can help someone else, Father, whoever is struggling out there in any way, shape, or form. So we thank you, Father Yahweh, for all these things in the blessed name of Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. A lot of us here, we can probably relate to what I'm going to speak on. I wanted to speak on the trials and tribulations that most of us encounter in the faith. And I know Brother Jim can relate to this, and also Sister Nancy. She wasn't doing too good last week. I was talking to Brother Randy and Elder Allen, and just yesterday I opened up the mail, and I got something here, an invitation for a tape. It's talking about the same thing that I wanted to speak on, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I got the motivation, I guess, for this speech from a booklet over from some brothers in the assembly in Philadelphia, the Spanish brothers over there. And if we can start out, we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I remember before Sister Nancy came into the faith, we had quoted this scripture to her. I remember at one time she was taking at least 12 different pills of different medicines, and I mean, just she was tired all the time. And afterwards, after she got immersed, she had some help from some brothers in the assembly, and you know, she got off the medicine. She's doing a lot better now. But 1 Peter and 4:12, it starts out by saying here, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." So we go through all types of different trials in our faith. And for me, myself, I noticed that before I came into the body and afterwards, once you get the set-apart spirit, I think as the trials come upon you, you're so delicate. You're like a young child. You know, some of the things that happen, they might surprise you or catch you off guard. And that's why the fellowship with our brothers and sisters and talking to each other before service, you know, we can ask each other how our week was. And sometimes we might have a good week, and other times we just might be down and out. And, you know, the fellowship helps in staying in touch. Also, in the book of James in chapter 1, we can find another scripture here where it gives us some comfort. In James chapter 1, and verse 12, it starts out by saying, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Master has promised to those who love him." So here's some confirmation here, some encouragement. And one thing that we need to do when we're going through different trials, some of them might be big trials for us. Maybe we never went through this before. And sometimes we might have the same trial over and over and over, and we just struggle to try to overcome these things. But we have to have a certain type of attitude, and these are some of these attitudes that I'd like to touch on. The first one, four attitudes we should have in order to overcome trials, is to wait for it. It shouldn't take long, especially for those brothers and sisters that came to the feast and were immersed. I mean, right afterwards, you know, they got hit with some pretty deep trials. And especially for somebody who's married and has a family, when you struggle to provide for your family. That's something that I never have gone through yet, and it's got to be, it really does try you, and so you have to hang in there. Let's continue and look at some more scriptures. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in this chapter here, I marked down, I don't know, in the King James it reads a little different, in at least six verses or in five times in this chapter here, the people are warned to do well and be obedient and to pay attention to what Yahweh says. In verse 34 it says, "Has a Elohim tried to go to take for himself a nation within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt?" In a sense, we're going through some trials where we see the days of Noah come upon us. And when we look at the trials that Israel went through, they were doing the physical part of the law, and we're looking at their examples, trying to do the spiritual side of the law. But Yahweh is calling his people out from all the nations now. And, you know, he's showing us through the Torah a lot of the trials, which, you know, when we look at them, we can take comfort that Yahweh has been with them all along. And all along, he's calling us to listen to his word and to change our ways. And so that's one thing that we're doing. We just sit and we wait and we do what we're told. As it says, occupy till Yahshua comes. We're going to get the trials, and they're coming. So that attitude, we just keep studying and learning and try our best to put our faith in Yahweh, and he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver us, and we can see that in some of the scriptures that we'll read later on. In keeping with this theme here, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We all pretty know this account here, Matthew chapter 4. This is the temptation of Yahshua. I'll start from verse 13 in chapter 3. It says here, "Then Yahshua arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Yahshua answered, saying to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Yahshua went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Then Yahshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry." And we can see from the psalm that Elder Allen read right afterwards, the evil one is quoting right from that psalm. But we see that right after Yahshua came up out of the water, he went into the wilderness, and right away the trial started. And none of us here have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, but I could just imagine. I mean, that's a trial in itself, just fasting for that time. You know, and here we have the evil one tempting the Messiah, but the first thing he does is also he just starts quoting scripture. So that's a good way to, you know, overcome our trials and tribulations. Okay, attitude number two. This one caught me by surprise. When you're going through trials, we're supposed to rejoice in tribulations. Let's go to James chapter 1 again. That's a real hard thing to do. I mean, sometimes people tell you about the stuff they're going through, and you become so sad, you know, and sometimes you don't even know what to say. So in James chapter 1, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." So this is one of the things that come out of going through different trials. It works in us. For instance, if you're going through the same trial more than once, you already know, what it feels like. And so you sit there and you keep struggling. And, you know, we have to overcome whatever trials we're going through. For some, it's health problems. For other, financial. For other, spiritual. And so we all have, these trials to go through, and we're not strangers to these things. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Here we have a lot of miracles were taking place in this chapter here. And then starting in verse 33, the apostles were approached by the Sadducees, it says here, and they were filled with jealousy, and they wanted to kill them because they were teaching in Yeshua's name and doing all these wonderful works. And so they got jealous. In verse 41, I'll start from 33, though. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. But a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to become somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined with him. And he was slain, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who were with him were scattered. And so in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of Elohim, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against Elohim." And they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Yeshua, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And we can see this in other scriptures also. One of the trials that we'll go through is being hated for Yeshua's name. And sometimes it gets tough, but a lot of times we get bold because of the Spirit of Yahweh, and we just continue to preach in his name, and we teach about the Sabbath and the feast days, and we basically don't pay it no mind. We can learn about this over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, it reads here, "And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." And some don't claim that the name is important. It says here that we're going to be hated for his name's sake. I know that a lot of Christians are being persecuted right now, but we don't believe that the name J-E-S-U-S is the correct name. So that's why we teach in the Hebrew name of Yeshua. And interesting note on the word endured in that verse there is 5278. It says to remain under, an example to endure or sustain a load of miseries, adversities, persecutions, or provocations in faith and patience. And let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, so we can see that we're never alone in this walk. It's great that Yeshua came in the flesh, because that way we don't have an excuse. Whenever we have something we have to overcome, we don't have an excuse, because he was tempted just like we were in all things. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, it reads, "Therefore, since Messiah has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of man, but for the will of Yahweh." And also in Hebrews chapter 4, kind of backs up what we're saying here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. I'll start from verse 14. It says here, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin." I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm sure that Yeshua had a lot of fun in keeping the feast days, but in a lot of ways, you don't see him rejoicing too much in the scriptures, but I'm sure that he did, and this is one of the things that we have to do. And this, I thought it was real interesting because it caught me off guard, you know, in the times that we suffer. I never thought that we had to rejoice, you know, in these things. Point number three that I have here is to evaluate the cause of the trials and tribulations that we go through. And for that, I mean, you can just read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, and you see the blessings and you see the cursings, you know, the blessings for obedience and the cursings for the disobedience. And we see these things through Israel's trials in the wilderness. Let's see. Evaluate the cause. Let's go to 1 Peter, since we're here not too far away. 1 Peter 3:17. First Peter 3:17 reads, "For it is better if Yahweh should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong." So sometimes, even though we're doing what is right in Yahweh's sight, we're still going to suffer. So we can't be surprised. For instance, we'll be persecuted by our co-workers for our faith. A lot of people might make fun of us. I talked to a brother last night, and he was... And on the Sabbath, you're supposed to rejoice, but this brother, his trials, I guess, were so that, I mean, he was pretty upset. He didn't even want to talk. And I was talking to Brother Mike. I says, you know, that's not the correct attitude we should have going into the Sabbath. But sometimes it just happens that way. You know, we get annoyed. Somebody might make fun of us, and we might be a little oversensitive. And it just takes us away from our focus that we're supposed to have on the Sabbath. And, you know, how many innocent people lost lives, innocent children who never seen the light of day, and others are suffering sickness or pain because of man's greediness, and also some are behind bars or executed. The world murders babies but frees Bar Abba. You know, they do these abortions, but yet, you know, they free murderers, you know. And so for us, you know, we have to evaluate, you know, what is the cause of the trial, because it might be a teaching that we're supposed to be getting out of this. And so we have to just hang in there. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. I found something that I thought was interesting, where we always see the good and the bad in the scriptures. It's not always a happy story. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 13. I had Nehemiah chapter 9 marked there because that's the people were confessing their sins, so they were actually, you know, admitting their faults. Nehemiah chapter 13, 18. And speaking about the Sabbath, as a matter of fact, here, it says here, "Did not your fathers do the same, so that our Elohim brought on us and on this city all this trouble, yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is pretty precious. We have to be careful, the things we say, the things we do. And here the people are buying and selling on the Sabbath. And this is basically why we don't buy or sell on the Sabbath. And that's the cause right here, you know, and also for not keeping the sabbatical years. That's why they went into captivity for so long. Okay, the next one, number four, is submit to Yahweh. While going through trials, we have to submit. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I've been hearing 1 Peter for a while. But it had a lot of good verses in this book here. And a lot of times when I'm kind of down, I always like to go to 1 Peter. The Psalms are good also to read. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says here, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." And Yahshua also said these things. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, because the burden is light." So it's not a hard thing. You know, some of the trials are hard, but we can make it. We can get through it. When it comes to trials, we only have two choices. We can stay and face our trials, or we can try and run and hide. And we know what happens when we try to run and hide. If you just read the book of Jonah, we can see there what happened to him. Now let's look at some of the outcomes of our trials. We went through the attitude that we're supposed to have. Now we can see what is the outcome of our trials. The first one is afflictions are light and momentary. We can go to the book of Matthew for this one. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. Now, some of the trials might be a little longer than others, but when you think about in the moment of an eye, you'll be changed into a spirit being. When Yahshua comes, then we'll probably laugh at a lot of the trials that we went through. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Yahshua says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And also we can go to Romans chapter 8, see what Shaul says here, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So basically that's what he's saying here, that, you know, these trials sometimes take you years. We know about the one lady was sick for about 18 years. And, you know, when Yahshua came and healed her, after all this suffering that she went through, the teachers of the law are upset because he did it on the Sabbath. You know, I mean, she must have felt a big relief. And instead of rejoicing, they're all upset because he stole their glory. Okay, for another scripture, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. It reads, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension." So it's working patience in us, and it's going to bear a lot of fruit. The second outcome, they serve a definite purpose. For this one, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. They serve a definite purpose, that's for sure. Sometimes we don't know what the purpose is, but we just have to go through them and try to learn from them. Like Brother Randy, I always enjoy talking to the elderly people about the stuff that they've been through, because half of the things that they've been through, we've never gone through them. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 3, and verse 13. It reads here, "Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." So as we walk and we go through our trials, we are being examined by Heavenly Father Yahweh. Like Elder Allen always says, if you want to know what's in our heart, just put some fire under our feet and then see how we act and, you know, what we do at that time. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Sometimes we wonder when other people are suffering certain things, you know, what would I do if I was in their shoes? You know, how would I react? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And this is a good verse here. I mean, this lays out all the things that our trials are bringing, you know, to fruit. "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of Yahweh has been poured out within our hearts through the set-apart Spirit, which was given to us." So there's a definite purpose right there. Number three, they produce sadness and hardship. For this one, we can go to Mark chapter 5. For this one, I have verses 25 all the way down to 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. It says, "And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Yahshua, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, 'If I just touch his garments, I shall get well.' But immediately the flow left her and was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Yahshua, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth, the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So there's one example right there, suffering for 12 long years. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We can read verses 10 through 17. And here's the other account of somebody who was suffering for 18 years. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues, speaking of Yahshua, on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Yahshua saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your sickness.' And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying Yahweh. And the synagogue official, indignant because Yahshua had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the master answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things which were being done by him. So just think about that. If she would have went on Sunday, he wouldn't have been there. So who knows what would have happened there. We got to realize that I forgot to mention, under the definition of trials and tribulations, it should have Yahshua and it should have Job in there, and it should also have Shaul there, because they suffered quite a bit. Let's go to Obadiah 12. Here's an interesting verse. Obadiah 12. You almost have to mark these little books here because they're hard to find. And this is just a warning, I guess. This was a warning to Edom. They were happy that Judah was going through some trials. In Obadiah, in verse 12, it says, "Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune, and do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress." One thing that I used to do, when I used to see people going through trials, of course I didn't do this when I went through them, but when I used to see other people go through trials, I used to always think, well, it must be some sin that they're having in their life, you know, and that's why they're suffering. And I had to kind of change the way that I think, because a lot of times the most righteous people are the ones that are suffering the most. But I guess this helps in increasing our faith when we see somebody that's doing right for Yahweh and they suffer through some trials, and we look at that and we say, wow, that's some strong faith, you know, and we could take a lot from that. Okay, number four of the outcomes is they present themselves in various forms. And we saw this in Genesis chapter 3. We saw how the evil one came and tempted Eve. Let's go to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. And it says here, "And Elohim said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years." So here's a way that a trial was presented to them. For 400 long years, they were in a strange land serving the pagans. And in a sense, we're in a strange land also. You know, we have to put up with all the wickedness that goes on in this country. Let's go over to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, we see another way that a temptation is presented here, a trial. I can relate to this one because I was guilty of this one. In Genesis 39. Let's see, we can start reading from verse 11. This is talking about Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. "Now it happened one day, then he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were inside, and she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said, 'See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. And he came into me to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So she left his garment beside him until her master came home. Then she spoke to him these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to make sport of me, and it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside." And we can read the rest of the chapter here, and we see a prime example. Joseph did the right thing. He got out of there. You know, he didn't want to sin against Yahweh. And what happens to him? He gets thrown in jail for this. But as always, Yahweh always guards his people. It was for a blessing. He was put in prison, and he was able to bless a couple of these people. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Verses 20 through 26, and this is talking about Achan. He stole some articles that were devoted for destruction, and of course, because of this, a plague came on the tribes of Israel. Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 through 26. So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly I have sinned against you, with Elohim of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. And they took them from inside and inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before Yahweh. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought him up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? Yahweh will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And Yahweh turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So the trials come in different ways. And sometimes, you know, if we're sinning, we might even bring down a whole congregation with us. And we saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Shaul is telling the people to get rid of this brother that was sinning with his father's wife. And so we got to be careful, because sometimes other people pay for, you know, our sins. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. This was quite a bit of material, so I wanted to try to get all this in here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And this is hanging up on my wall, so I should have knew this by heart. It says here, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of Yahweh and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Yahshua, that the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our body." And also verse 16, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." So even though our physical body is dying, it's kind of hard to eat right in this society, you know, because of the food that's out there. But our spiritual is being built up. And I remember quoting this to a sister. She had, if I'm not mistaken, she has 6 back surgeries. I have a little bit of back pain sometimes. And I think about 6 surgeries, I mean, what it must be to go through all that. And a lot of times we go to a doctor before we come to an elder for anointing. So we have to think about that too, because a lot of the medicines that are used are not good for our body. For a closing scripture, let's go to 2 Corinthians, back a couple of chapters, in verse 14. I hope this has been encouraging to some, and I mean, none of us here, like I said, are strangers to the trials and tribulations, but I mean, they happen all the time, and one thing for sure, we know when the feast days are coming, because we get the pressure gets turned up pretty good around the feast days, and sometimes even during the feast. I remember Sister Nancy having a trial, and Brother Paul also. I mean, he almost went down that hill with that trailer. I mean, I'm glad I reacted all of a sudden. Most of the time, I froze up. I remember when a kid fell in the water, I just froze. I didn't know what to do, and this time, Mike says he never seen me run so fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and this is a comforting scripture. It says here, "But thanks be to Yahweh, who always leads us in his triumph in Messiah, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." So Yahweh is always there for us, as long as we're obedient, as long as we're searching, seeking his face. We know that we can overcome anything, any trial or tribulation. Also, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. And now I know why Brother Randy always brings some water up here. Mouth gets kind of dry up here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." I mean, you just talk to some brothers in the Philippines and you'll find out some of the trials they go through. Talk to Elder Butcher in St. Lucia. He's also struggling. "And after you have suffered for a little while, the Elohim of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Messiah, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we give thanks to Yahweh. We know that sometimes we have the wrong attitude, but we just hang in there, go through the trials, struggle, talk to the brothers, get anointed when we're sick, beg for mercy, and tell the brothers and sisters whatever trials we're having. And there's always help, you know. And if, like Shaul prayed, we can pray, and if it doesn't get taken away, then it's got to be for our benefit, and it's got to be for Yahweh's glory. Just like in the scriptures, all the brothers and sisters that suffered hard trials, it was all for Yahweh's glory, and it was all for our learning and our instruction. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you, and shalom to all.